We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
I want you to understand it. It's a mystery.
We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. That means to these people, it's a mystery. It's a mystery.
Because it is given unto you,
read on,
to know the mystery.
Mystery, even a mystery, hid from ages through history. Generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, the nation victory.
You're listening to Mysteries of the Bible. It's Love Talk Radio.
Now, since Mysteries of the Bible has been on the air, our main goal was to establish truth according to God.
That's right, and thank the Lord we are back on the air. So welcome to another episode of Mysteries of the Bible. I am your co-host, standing in for our host, Mr. Powers, this evening, Mr. St. James. And today I actually have a special guest who is one of the original members of the, or I can't say, what is it? Not the original members. That's not right. He was one of the original producers and our current producer of the Mysteries of the Bible radio show, Mr. Michael Ramos. How are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. It's a pleasure to be here, and just thank God Almighty, just the fact that we are still able to do what we're doing right now, and this is incredible just to be on the air and know that Mysteries of the Bible is going strong in the year 2020, sir.
We definitely appreciate some of the initial feedback that we got. Please do send it in. And like I said, Lord willing, we're going to be going live here shortly, where you actually be able to call in and field your questions. So your feedback is definitely appreciated and desired. So thank you very much for that. So what do we got on the docket for today, Mr. Ramos?
I mean, this is Mysteries of the Bible, so this always. The way this show has always ran has always been, you never know what you're going to get until you listen to the show. And I know you have a couple things you want to touch on. And when you go back to Mysteries of the Bible in the beginning, just so everybody knows, I mean, the inspiration of the show, just got to give all credit to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, just for allowing us to experience the time that this show aired while Dr. Jermaine Grant, also known as, of course, the Holy God Saint Comfort, the Holy Apostle and Chief High Priest, has a document and what he did for us. And even to this day, the families that came into the truth, St. James, just from the show alone, mm-hmm. from what was wow. done, to be able to do it now,
mm-hmm.
In a time that we're living in, like we talked about a couple of times, the pandemic going on and different things happening in the world, where you got people out there probably, just looking and searching and thinking, there has to be something better out there. Well, guess what? There is. And
yeah,
just thank God for this, sir.
Absolutely. Because I mean, that if anything is just providing the answers, right? There, so many people are, I mean, you see it every day. You see it in the news. It's echoed throughout social media. People are getting tuned up to, what their thought process is, but yet they still don't have any actual answers. And, when they start looking at, what's going on, why is the pandemic going on? Why is it continuing for this long? Why are the people they consider it to be a hoax? And that's why it's so important that you have to have a foundation, and it has to be, a foundation and a religious foundation. And why we are so blessed, like you said, to have the Holy Ghost and Comfort, the Holy Apostle and Chief High Priest Azadakia, because we had the opportunity to have. I mean, we're talking like two. Over, let's break this, hundreds of DVDs and hundreds of hours of content that haven't even made it out yet. And some of them right. have been so valuable, right? In the sense that on one of them, right, if you remember, DVD that was taught by Old Gaston Gunford, I'm blaming it on the white man. He actually prophesied. He said from 2020 on up, right, there's going to be the whole earth right? The whole world is going to catch hell. And that's from 2020 on up. And as part of that, it was actually even mentioned in pandemics. So he already saw, he already knew these things were happening and these things were coming, and to prepare us and to help us prepare.
Mm.
You know, so that's where, you know, and he left us with a message of the fact that, that this virus is something that is not a joke, right? And as you see the resurgence of it, and as you see our communities being more and more affected by it, you know, that's all the evidence that you really should need, regardless of what, where you stand politically, regardless of whether you consider yourself to be a so-called Democrat or Republican or what news channel you listen to or any of that. The evidence should be crystal clear, right? There's no making up the hospitals being full, right? There's no making up you seeing black and brown bodies in particular being more adversely affected and receiving the negative effects from the virus. So
you're absolutely
You know, so please, it's very important. You know, it's if you want to even use the word imperative, right? It's imperative for the listening audience to please, you know, take heed. Right, this is not a joke.
Politicians lie, you know, Democrats, Republicans, or whatever else they is on the ballot, you know, that could lie, you know. They say men lie, women lie, but you know, it don't lie. Stats, statistics, numbers don't lie. And the numbers are there. And what the numbers do is they substantiate, like you said, St. James, that we indeed have a prophet, have always had a prophet among us. And that's why, you know, the core believers and the believers in the truth, the one truth of the Almighty God, is still here and we're able to carry on. Because, I mean, imagine, you can't make that up before it happens, right? And the numbers are showing you who's the most affected by the pandemic. And I think you made a tremendous point when you said that.
Yeah, I mean, look, and that's what's great is that it has nothing to do with, it's not my point. It's information that we learned from Noah Goss and Comforter. And you know, one thing I just want to make it clear is that, you know, we're here and we're not going anywhere, you know, because we are the believers, right? And that's part of what we covered in last week's show.
Right.
There's only one truth. There's only one source of truth. And then once you have that, and once you understand that, you know, if you turn your back on that, then you literally have no hope, right? Because this is the only thing that provides that guidance, that provides that stability, that lets you know. And it goes right back to the Word of God, where you can really, you know, literally there are answers to every single thing inside of the Holy Bible. And it prepares us for everything. It's crazy because, you know, I'm very thankful in the fact that I was blessed to have, both my father and mother with me as I was growing up, and they're still alive. But even with that, right, they do the best job that they can. And I know that they love me and they try to give me the best and the opportunities there. But the one that I learned the most about life, the one that I learned the most about relationships, the one that I learned the most about myself, the one that I learned the most about, you know, the truth, it comes directly from the Holy Ghost and comes from the Holy Apostle and Giovanni Sazaki. I very much consider him to be like a father, because my approach to life now is based on the information that we learn. Right, my approach now, the reason why you have a successful family, the reason why we continue to have successful, you know, and be successful in this wicked world, is because of what we have learned and how we're able to apply it. You know what I mean?
Definitely. Let me ask you, what's the name of today's show?
This is the Foundation of Our Belief, Part 1.
That kind of sets the tone of Thanksgiving, Christmas. And it's funny because none of those things are going to be affected by COVID, St. James. Like,
yeah, you're right. No, you're absolutely right. Now, tell me, look, if you have any kind of email where you try and get all the deals, and now there's any excuse, right? Any excuse to put more ways of trying to get to engage with consumers more. And not even trying to get in the whole consumerism and all this stuff with Thanksgiving and Christmas, which is, those things are just undeniable. But since we are on the mysteries of the Bible, right, we got to bring it back to the to the doctrine side. And there's a whole we got Thanksgiving Day special coming up, right? We've got Christmas specials coming up. So I don't want to steal any of Mr. Power's thunder there. So
I mean, imagine you don't even have to go there. Like, it's COVID is not going to affect Cyber Monday and Black Friday, right?
It's not. It's already Black Friday. It's already Black Friday. I'm telling you, I'm no kidding. I saw emails coming to Black Friday special.
So the pandemic is going on, but we can still be retargeted. We're still just consumers. You know what I mean? Like, what you're saying in my mind, in my ears, I'm hearing, like, a believer in God is something that you think about. Like, everybody was turned into the consumption, a consumer, consuming whatever you're fed. Like you said, whatever you're influenced by, this world is like, and it becomes normal. It becomes the truth, but it's not really the truth. Like, what we're about, like, it's just so respectable. We cannot do certain things because of how high, right? Like in St. James, you could probably say it better than me, but just whether there be holy or holidays, we just can't do it unless it's done properly, right?
So it shows you
how big this world is.
Like this, even on just on that line alone, right? There is on every one of our high holy days, right? Because we within the Israelite Church of God in Jesus Christ, right? We celebrate the same holidays or high holy days that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ celebrated, right? Because when we bring it all back, what's our job and what's our role, right? We come right back to, we are the authoritative source on the Bible. So if you want to find out and know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's perspective on a holiday, then we have to do it according to how our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did it. And so there are certain ritual rites, almost did like the Elmer Fudd, ritual rites, certain ritual rites associated with the high holy days. And they're all designed to bring us back to a certain remembrance, a certain frame of mind, or just how special our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is to the nation of Israel. These are things that he has done for us, and it was so monumental and so special, right, that we have to show credit, and we have to give credit back, and we have to recognize what God has done for us. And we have to do it a certain way, because when it comes down to it, right, it's not about, and this is kind of what, I'm kind of taking the long way around into the point which you were mentioning, but there's only one standard, right? And that standard is Jesus Christ. So if you can't do it according to the standard, you can't do it.
Right. And that's kind of totally different from what you remember growing up in the world with what the world is influenced by and what you're kind of taught as a child growing up, because you might be in a certain family structure or you might be in a certain situation. I'm alone or my family's broke. I can do it here at home. I can do it in the street or the hotel. Like, that's not holy. It's nothing. Like, no, you just can't do what you want.
This is one of the things, there's so many different things that come to your mind when you start talking about this. Sometimes your mind starts going faster than your mouth can go to. But it's like, we literally look at what's the most basic concept, right? There's always some form of heaven regardless of what type of religion is there. So, what blows almost everything up is that there's only one God. So now if there's only one God, that means there's only, one heaven. And so all of the different theories on what you can do and what you have to do, and what righteousness is and what the standard is in order to be able to make it. That's what we were talking about a little bit before, is that we have to understand that it's not easy. Like, there is a standard, and that standard is such that it's not easy to get into. It's not just for everybody to be able to get into the kingdom of heaven. Let me, if you don't mind, let me just read one scripture on that.
Oh,
I don't know, Mr. Ramos. There's actually scriptures in the Bible, in the New Testament, right, where it gives us the understanding that lets us know that there are certain things that you can be doing that will guarantee you not make it into heaven. And yeah, these are in the Bible, but the problem is that people don't read the Bible. Right? They don't look at it for themselves. They don't have the proper understanding. They look at it as if it's intimidating. And it's important to have that healthy respect, because it is intimidating. That's why it's so important that you have a teacher. And that's why we're actually on the air now in the show's name, What the Mysteries of the Bible, because we can actually, you know, through the authority that's been vested in us by our teacher, the Holy Godson, Comfort, Holy Apostle, and Chief High Priest Azadakia, you know, right, and the understanding that he has given us, now we can bring that understanding back. And you know what? When you actually have understanding, it makes a whole lot more sense.
Right.
So if you have it out, you got. I can read it, or you got it out. You ready?
So what are you looking for right now?
1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 and 10.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 reads,
mm-hmm,
"Know ye not."
So the first, let's just stop right there, right? Know ye not. So yeah, this is it's Old English, so it may sound strange, but very basically, what's that mean? It means that this is something that we're supposed to know. Is know you not? Is don't you know? Right? So if a goal is to get to the kingdom of heaven, let's see what it says about that. Don't you know? Know you not? Read.
That the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
That the unrighteous shall not. So does that say, Mr. Rose, does that say maybe in there? Does that appear to, you know, leave the realm of possibilities open?
No, I would have to say when we got to the part that says shall not, it sounded like a hard stop. Like you're not,
you're not gonna
be able to continue.
Right. It said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not. All right, and you finished that, right? Inherit the kingdom of God. You read that last part, right?
Inherit the kingdom of God. Yes, sir.
Okay, so look, so now we shouldn't have to explain what the kingdom of God is, right? That's heaven, right? That's the goal, right? That's fair, right? There's no deep breakdown of saying that we have identified for that, is there?
That would be something common that everybody understands. Kingdom of God, right? Heaven, everlasting life.
That should be fair, right? It says the kingdom of God. All right, so now let's deal with something that may not be as common, right? So it says, know you not, okay, we got that, don't you know, that the unrighteous shall not. Okay, so now, who are the unrighteous? Because most of the time in the world nowadays, and especially now, right, where everybody has to be accepted, what is the definition of unrighteous? Because people have different feelings and different understandings on what is good and what is bad, right?
That's right. Right.
Because if we're talking about, all right, what's unrighteous, you walk down a block, you're going to get, you know, all kind of different answers of what unrighteous is, or things that are bad. All right, well, what are things that are bad? And right, based on where they were educated, based on their background, based on where they're from, you can get all kind of different answers as to what is good and bad.
Just
right?
How you feel in general, right? Just how you feel.
Right. Yeah, I feel this. And this is something that's so serious. Like, this is what are we talking about? We're talking about the kingdom of God here. You see, like, this is something that's so serious.
Yeah.
Like, this is the purpose. This is the whole reason for us to be in, you know, in a religion. This is why we are doing the things that we're doing. It's why we... You go to church, it's to make it to the kingdom of God, right? It's for you to make it, right?
Right, right, right.
And so now it's telling you what? It says, Don't you know this is something you're supposed to know, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? So now, what is unrighteous? What is that definition? What is that standard? What does unrighteousness mean according to God? And thankfully, we don't have to, you know, make it a cliffhanger and wait, all right, well, you know, stay tuned for part two, right? We can just keep on reading. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 again. Yeah.
You want to read it from the top?
Sure, let's do that.
Okay. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived.
Okay, so don't be deceived. Now, that one, that should be a fairly common word too, right? Don't be deceiving. Well, don't be tricked.
Yeah, don't get tricked.
And don't get tripped up. Don't think, because now, especially now, right, where everything's good to everybody, right? Nobody can do wrong. Everybody has a right. Everybody has the right to be. Everybody has the right to a certain feelings. If you are a man and you want to marry a man, that's your right. If you are a woman and you want to marry a woman, that's your right. That's your feeling. If you were born a boy and woke up, and now these are the feelings that you have, this is what you want to be, then that's your right, according to the world today. Oh. Right?
Right. Yes. Yeah. It seems.
I am not speaking bad, and I'm not disparaging anybody at all. I'm just speaking about what the common reference and the common understanding and the common sense of right and wrong that exists in the world today. Is that fair?
Oh, I think you're 100% correct. And I mean, you have to use common sense in the world that we're living in. There is a group supporting everybody. See, if you are sincere in those emotions, even if everybody knows from a common ground, like if it's the Bible, thou shalt not steal, but you have this group or some feeling in you, I had to do it to support my family.
Like, you can justify, like if somebody wants to do something, you can find a reason to justify doing it.
Right.
Right. You can justify stealing if you were hungry and had no way to feed your family, right? You could justify, right, you know, all kind of different things. Drug dealers do all the time, right? They try and justify it because they'll feed their family, et cetera. I just use the same example twice about feeding their family, right, but people use that justification a lot. Now, the one that you mentioned, yeah, about going to school and, you know, one of the things now that is put out there, you know, very commonly and frequently is that, you know, this is what she was doing in order to pay for her education. Right. But there's no morals in or recognition of, you know, or even having any standard of what you have to do in order to make that money.
Right.
What's so sad, and this gets off topic a little bit, but just to address that point specifically, is we really have to start to understand and appreciate how much God loves us. And the standard that we have to have for ourselves before we can really even try to go into and even look at governing our behavior, right? Because in the world, especially now, and especially in the areas in the environment, you know, the love of neighbor, right? The care of self, the love of self is just not taught and is completely and totally absent. So, you know, it makes it appear as if it's okay because, you know, as beautiful as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as he made you, that now that you think that it's okay because you are beautiful and have something that people desire, right? But you were never told that was something that was special. You're never told that was something that had a certain value. You're never told this is something that's supposed to be cherished and not just to be thrown away and given to anybody. That you're actually special. And that's where probably what we were talking about before about being holy, right? If you're holy, separated for God's use. So if you really are the people of God, if you really are a child of God, you don't just allow yourself to be dealt with any kind of way by anybody. And you definitely don't allow yourself to be sold for money to pay for school. So, you know, what is missed is the way that I want and choose or am choosing to deal with this situation, is that going to cause my ability to enter the kingdom of God to be put in jeopardy? Right? Am I going to jeopardize my chance to make it to heaven because of how I'm choosing to solve this situation?
You open up a whole lot of thoughts right there. I think anybody that's listening to Mysteries of the Bible for the first time, just thinking about that, when you use the word jeopardize, my ability to make it to heaven in jeopardy by making this decision, that sounds like it's almost like a lost idea, right?
Is it something? Absolutely, but this is, I mean, you know, because you know, we haven't even got through one scripture yet, which is fine. That's the way it's going to happen sometimes. It's okay. It's supposed to be a dialogue, right? It's supposed to be the show because, you know, we're just trying to keep basic right now.
Right.
Right. We're not even going, right, at least in the purpose of this show right now, we're not even going to take it to the point where this is a decision you have to make every single day. Right? This was something that this is what you know, our forefather Moses warned the nation of Israel and told him, like, look, like you have a path before you, and you have two choices. Right? You could choose life or you could choose death. You choose blessings, you could choose cursings. And the fact that we can realize that's something, that's a decision that we have to make every single day. So we can't even talk about that before we can at the very least be all on the same page and understand that, all right, let's just put heaven as the goal. Heaven is the goal. So what is the standard for me to be able to make it there? Because I think most reasonable people know inside themselves that it's not just so easy to say that I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and I can treat anybody any way that I want to treat them. I can do anything I want to anybody. I can behave how I want to behave that's best suited for me, and that you're still going to make it. I think most people would generally, right, have an idea at the very least that I have to be good in order to make it to heaven. I think that concept, at the very least, especially for the people that might be in this audience, right, who are already trying to seek, already looking for answers, right? I think that concept, at the very least, should be something that should be very easy to understand and be, you know, comprehensible, right? Is that fair?
Right.
So let's bring it back. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 6 and 9 and. Because we got stuck on it, be not deceived, because this is all part of the deception. And right. I think it's a valuable conversation because it's important, right, I think, to point out that there is a deception, and that there is, that is part of reality today, is that people believe that if I am good, even though they have no understanding what that good is, they just know the concept of being good, that,
right,
that you're going to make it. So now, what's so important,
right,
and what we have to do is actually go through the Word of God in the Holy Bible and show, according to God, what is that definition? Because it lets us know, yeah, right, know ye not, don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And it's what? Be not deceived, don't be tricked. Right? So pick up right there,
right,
please, sir.
Be not deceived.
Mm-hmm.
Neither fornicators.
Okay, so neither fornicators. So what does that mean? Right. Oh, man. Now, you know what? Let's go through the whole list. Let's go through the whole list. Let's read it. Let's just let the scriptures speak for themselves. Because then get to the point in the end of verse 10 and let you know right there. We don't have to say anything. Let's let the scriptures speak for itself. Please, be on mind, Mr. Ramos.
Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves,
nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Wow.
So it does, it gives you a list. Right. Wow. It gives you a list right there of certain things that can't be good. Or excuse me, certain things that are in the eyes of God are not good. Right? Certain things that are in the eyes of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to his standard, if you're doing these things, then you are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Period.
If I listen to you right now, and I might not be, I might not understand everything that's on that list based on the words, right? But
right.
I'm pretty sure I can understand that what I just read let me know that if I'm anything on this list fit into one of these categories and think that I'm going to receive an everlasting life unless something right. changes.
You know, and let's take it from there. And you know, again, so I just want to point out again, right? The reason why this sounds this way and the reason why it comes off as so genuine, because this is exactly how we have been taught by the Holy Ghost and Comfort the Holy Apostle and Chief High Priest Azadakia. Right, this is no script, there's nothing here that we're reading. This is reality, and this is a very important, that totally undermines the significance of it. Right? This is life and death. This is your ability to make it to the kingdom of heaven. So before we even try to go into and start saying, well, what this is and what that is and what that is, I think it's fair enough, right, Mr. Ramos, right. that we have established at the very least that there is a standard, right?
Right?
And that standard has to be upheld. And if you don't make that standard, you're not going to make it. You know, the world that we live in is so quick to condemn people for condemning others and so quick to come out and say how you can't judge. Well, first of all, we're not judging anybody, right? This is what the Word of God is saying. And so let's make sure we're all on the same page there. But just the whole concept of self-evaluation, self-reflection, that I think is really missed a lot in the world today. It just doesn't happen.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of people that want to try to talk about, you know, oh, that's the old God, that's the angry God, that's the judgeful, vengeful God. Well, you know, we can just take the one scripture in the book of Hebrews and show you that, you know, that the God that was in the beginning in Genesis is the very same God all the way in Revelation. So it's only one God, right? So Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he's found written throughout the whole entire book. So he's all through there.
The God of the Old Testament carries on to the New Testament. I think you said it perfectly. Like, and I think people don't realize that, because if you really, you know, when time permits itself, and I'm sure because the mysteries of the Bible shows is we're not going anywhere. You have a lot of information to cover. We have a lot of things that I know is going to be intriguing to an audience of people that really want to know the facts, what it is that God expects from people as individuals.
I'm sorry, sir. I couldn't resist. I had to get it. It's Hebrews 10:7. Just because, you know, I paraphrased it and I didn't feel good.
No, I got it for you. I was going to say, if you want me to get it, I have it. I was ready for it. I got it for you. I'll read it for you.
That's the thing is, you know, the Word of God is so sacred. And that's the only word that I could really use. And it's so powerful. Right, you just can't treat it any kind of way. So we really, you know, we can't paraphrase. So if it's going to sound like the scripture I'm talking about, we have to get it. We actually have to read it, because that's where the power, that's where the understanding actually is. And we can't even allow any type of misconception at all being put out there. Right? I mean, that's just. So yeah. So I apologize, but we got to get it, sir.
You read whenever you're ready.
Go for it, sir. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7, please, sir.
Yes, sir. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book.
And it tells you what that means. It is written of me. So literally from Genesis to Revelation, right? That's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is written all throughout. So the very the God, the all the great and terrible, the Almighty God that brought plagues upon the Egyptians, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the great Almighty God that split the Red Sea, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And one of the things that we were taught, and I think it was so beautifully brought out by the Holy Ghost and Comfort the Holy Apostle and Chief Sazadakia, you know, in the DVD. And so if you see this reference DVDs a lot, please go check out thecomfortestream.org. Lord willing, we're going to have very soon have a mechanism for those who are being newly introduced to the truth to actually have access to some of the DVDs and some of the teachings there. Because, I mean, that is just, right, that's where you actually see the prophet himself, the Holy Ghost and Comforter, going through the word like nobody else can do it. Especially now, right, where people need answers and people want answers. And there's a certain desire, you know, for the truth. And, you know, that's the only place you're going to get it. Right, and it's the only way you can get it. Especially, so we're going to leverage technology and do the things that we can to try to make it more available to more people. There's a code of conduct, right? And this is where the code of conduct and what we believe it matters, right? Because in order for us to be a believer, in order for you to be a believer of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in order for you to be a believer or even call yourself a Christian, right, there has to be an open show of your belief. And that open show isn't you walking up and down the street saying, well, bless you, my brother, bless you, my sister. Open show is how you demonstrate your belief in God. So that's what, like, faith, right? So faith actually is your belief and also your devotion to those beliefs, right? But you know, when we're talking about the word of God, we're talking about being able to enter the kingdom of heaven. So we're talking about the being an actual Christian within the Israelite Church of God in Jesus Christ. So, no, our faith is our dedication, right, to the word of God and the actions that we demonstrate to show and prove and validate that dedication. Mm-hmm. Right? And this is how we show, right, when we go back and look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when the Sadducees and Pharisees were trying to question him and trying to test him to see whether or not, you know, he was the one, right? And one of the things that he told him, he said, look, you're not very far from the kingdom of God when you're doing what? When you're keeping and following the laws of God. So let's go through that, because, you know, this is one of the things that was brought out, is let's know this is called what, the foundation of our belief. This is, right. So if you're going to have a belief system, there has to be a foundation, right, where that rests on. And there's no stronger foundation than the word of God. So let's go from here to Mark chapter 12. Let's go to Mark chapter 12 and verse 29.
Mark 12, verse 29.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel.
That's where we have to pause right there, right? Let's pause right there on that moment for 1 second there, right? It says the first of all the commandments. Because what we went into and ultimately it's going to be the two greatest commandments. But for the purpose of this show, for part one of the foundational belief, we're only going to really be able to cover the first couple. But please stay tuned, because I said, if this is the basic code of conduct, you need to have the whole code of conduct. So it behooves you to stay tuned for next week, right? That's not right. They're going to get to try and get this right. You put my salvation at risk over here for just make sure we stay tuned for next week.
I need both. You gotta give me one. This is excellent though, because you know if you was joining some information about what's expected of you, right? And right. I love the idea of, you know, how can you move forward in anything that you're about to do if you don't know the basics of what's expected of you?
Right. It's the foundation. It's where everything builds on top of that, right? So, you know, and this is what we had to say. This is the first of all the commandments, right? The first of all the commandments is. So what does that mean? Right? That means that that is the foundation, right? That's the first. That's the basic concept, right? That's everything builds from here, right? So the first of all the commandments is, what? Hear, O Israel. So the first thing, what is the first part, the basic foundation or commandment is to let the nation of Israel know that we have, what? Read on.
The Lord our God is one Lord.
And that we have one God and that he is the only God. Our God and the God of the Israelites is one. And who's that? That's our Lord, King, and Savior, Jesus Christ. And why is this so important? It's because you have so many people trying to claim an identity and to try and claim an heritage with God. But right here, even in the New Testament, what are we seeing? It starts off, what? Hear, O Israel. Because all these people are trying to say that their idols are gods, but what? Our God, the God of the nation of Israel, is the only true and living God. And he is what? One God. Imagine that. That's the foundation, remember. So if you can't take that, you're not gonna like the rest of it.
You gotta let that one marinate a little bit. You gotta let that one settle in your system, like, you know, that kind of removes the idea that, you know, you just can't go upon your own. There's only one God. That's it. And he's pretty much setting the foundation for your, you know, what you need to know if you want, if you want to believe in God, then this is it, right?
Right, and this is why, you know, this is the Israelite Church of God in Jesus Christ, right? Because, right, if he's our God and the Israelites is one, then that's how we have to identify ourselves. So, you know, regardless of what has been put out on social media, regardless of what's put out on Southern Poverty Law Center and all these other places where we're going to try and disparage the nation of Israel, right? Or people that would even have the audacity to think and associate us with being Jewish. our foundation is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Right? He is our God. And that what's so beautiful about the understanding is that this is not about any color. It's not about any shape, any background, or any of that. You know, this thing where people have put out when you with the black Hebrew Israelites. What is a black Hebrew Israelite? That's a moniker, you know, that belongs back in the Stone Ages with all the Antichrist and these guys that have no knowledge and no wisdom and they're ignorant as hell and they deserve everything that they're going to get. Not that we're going to do anything, but what God is going to do. So, and the Israelites are the believers in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, period. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your skin color. And it doesn't matter your background. What matters is your belief in God. And we know according to prophecy that the people, so-called African-American, so-called Latino or Hispanic, and Native Americans, these are the people match up with all the curses in the Bible, say these are the people of God, right? But because the nation of Israel was so disobedient and did not keep and follow the laws of God, we know that the nation of Israel was scattered into every nation under heaven. So you're actually going to have believers. And you look back in the Revelations and it shows that believers of what? Every shape, every size, every look, every type of ethnicity is there. These are going to be believers in Jesus Christ, and they're all going to be what? What they can't be changed is what they're still going to be, what? Israelites. So, I just want to make sure before people try to get in their mind that, you know, this is an isolation. No, this is us reading out of the Holy Bible. Because it's frustrating, Mr. Ramon. So, it shouldn't be so frustrating because you know, if we really are speaking the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right, then we have to be hated. So that's to be expected. But
right,
you know, don't disparage us. Don't say something that's not true. If you can't deal with the fact that you actually have to be righteous, if you can't deal with the fact that you act there as a standard for your conduct, you know, and that you don't like that standard, then that's fine. But don't make up lies about us because you don't understand and try and say this is who we are. That's not us.
It's time for Did You Know That? Inspired by the Holy God Saint Comforter, brought to you by Mysteries of the Bible.
You there? Did I lose you?
I'm here. I'm on the edge of this was usually the part of the show. You know, you got me on a special guest, so you start taking me back moments. I remember I'd just be looking at Dr. Jermaine Grant, looking at the Holy God Saint Comforter, like, what is he about to drop? You know,
it's just beautiful. Did you know that?
And it'd be like these bombers. He'd be like, oh, did you know that? Like, it was serious because, like you said, the Bible is just, you know, it's just truly amazing. And if you choose to live up to the standard, whatever comes out right now is important for you to pay attention to. That's why you need to do that.
And this week is a little, you know, we're going to keep it right in line with part of what the topic is from this week, on this past week, and we're going to show a little bit about what's coming in next week. So the question is for this week, did you know that? Or did you know that? Did you know that all the law and the prophets actually hang on the two greatest commandments? So what does that actually mean, Mr. Ramos? What does that mean? The law, all the law and the prophets hang on the two great commandments. So we started going into a little bit, right, on the greatest commandments. Let's just read it. Let's just get that understanding. Let's talk a little bit about that. And then, unfortunately, through the sake of time, we're going to have to get out of here. But there, Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to read 12, 34 through 40, please, sir. Matthew's the 12th chapter. 34th verse through the 40th verse.
All right. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together.
Yes. And now the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? These were two of the ruling religious sects during the time of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Right. So, the Sadducees, they had their own specific beliefs, and they thought there was no resurrection. The Pharisees, you know, they thought they knew different, but they were still kind of the ruling establishment, you know, of the religious right during the day of our period of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, read on, sir.
Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying,
yes, he was actually trying to tempt to our Lord King and Savior Jesus Christ with his words, trying to get him to condemn himself according to the word of God. Read on.
Which is the great commandment in the law?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart.
Right.
And with all thy soul.
And with all thy soul. Read on. Yeah, so you see, some of these starting to come back and sound kind of familiar with what we are already going over in Mark, the 12th chapter, right, in the 30th verse, even though we haven't really got there, get a chance to really go through all of that right now. But this is, it's the same story, right? It's the same scenario that it's speaking about. So if you read verse 37 again, please.
Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind.
And with all thy mind. Mm-hmm. Read on.
This is the first and great commandment. And the second
is... Excuse me, verse 38 again, please, sir.
This is the first and great commandment.
Is this the first and great commandment? So you heard of the two greatest commandments? That's the first and great commandment. What, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And what we also read in back in Mark 12 is, we know with all thy strength. Read on.
And the second is like unto it.
And the second thou is like unto it, meaning what? The second is what? Read.
Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
And that is the second greatest commandment, right? Is to thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Many of you may be more familiar with this as being what? The golden rule. Right? You do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But the understanding is the same. Is you treat other people the same way that you want to be treated. Right? And that is the second greatest commandment. Read.
On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
So yeah, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, meaning that if you do these two correctly, if you keeping the two greatest commandments, what that means is you actually be fulfilling all of the laws that are there in the Bible, and you will be guaranteed to make it if you are keeping and following the two greatest commandments correctly. So if you're loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And the second is like unto it, meaning what? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So if you're doing those correctly, then you know you're going to be guaranteed to make it. Which is why, please stay tuned. You know, you have to stay tuned to next week, where we actually get a chance to go into what does it actually mean to follow and to serve our Lord, King, and Savior, Jesus Christ, to love him with all your heart, to love him with all your soul, to love him with all your mind, and to love him with all your strength. And how do you actually treat other people the same way that you want to be treated? So please stay tuned to another episode next week. Unfortunately, right now we're out of time. I want to thank especially Mr. Ramos for being a special guest for this week's show. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time and attention and you spending this hour with me today. So I greatly appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you too, sir. Thank you for having me on the show, and praise God again for the Holy Ghost and comfort of Dr. Jermaine Grant, Mysteries of the Bible, and us being able to continue what he started.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very well said, sir. So definitely with that, all praise and thanks and glory to our Lord, King, and Savior, you know, Jesus Christ. Thank so much, Holy Ghost and comfort, as Mr. Roma says so beautifully. For establishing the radio show, and then for allowing us the opportunity to continue and carry on that tradition. And with that, I want to thank all of the listening audience again for your time and attention as well this week. We look forward to your comments again at blogtalk@icggjc.org, thecomforter.name, thecomforter.info. Just check it all out.
That's beautiful, St. James. And before we go, I thank you again for having me on the show as one of the original producers of Mysteries of the Bible. And I brought a gift for the listening audience. Give everyone a chance to hear Dr. Jermaine Grant, also known as the Holy Ghost and Comforter, Holy Apostle and Chief High Priest Isaiah, teach on Mysteries of the Bible. I hope you enjoy it.
And does the Bible say that Satan have ministers? Yes. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. We're going to show you something very interesting. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and we're going to start at the 13th verse. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles. So they are false apostles like Peter, James, John, Paul. They were the true apostles of Christ. Then you have people trying to act like Peter, James, and John, and Paul. These are the false apostles. Read on. Deceitful workers. Deceitful workers, meaning they're trying to make you think that they're coming in the name of the true apostles. Like you might have a pope called John Paul or something like that. I don't know.
Right.
The reason he named himself John Paul, because he wants you to think that he's following in the line of the true apostles. But he's not. He's a deceitful worker. Read on.
Transforming themselves.
Transforming themselves, meaning they're not that person, but they became that person. Transforming themselves, read on,
into the apostles of Christ.
Yeah, they're not the apostles of Christ. You look at the Pope, you said, oh, the Holy Father. Who told you that? Did God tell you that? Did he send an angel down and tell you that? Is it anywhere in the Bible? What is this guy doing? Is he teaching you the scriptures? No, he's not. And a lot of you get upset when I start talking about your Pope. But guess what? I done went and examined your Pope. Don't you know God tell you we supposed to do that? He said, try them to see whether they are of God. And we see that they're not. Read on.
And no marvel.
For Satan himself, read on,
is transformed into an angel of light.
That angel of light that Satan is transformed into is Jesus Christ. Now, we know Jesus Christ is not walking around on earth, so how can Satan be transformed into Jesus Christ? What do they show you about Jesus Christ? They usually show you what? An image. They usually show you a picture of Jesus Christ. That picture of Jesus Christ that you're looking at, that you think is Jesus Christ, is actually the image of the devil.
Mm.
And a lot of people get mad when, you know, that's brought out. But guess what? Prove me wrong. Right. Because does the Bible talk about Satan was going to set up an image and make people worship that image? Yes, he did. How now the 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, is telling you how he made people worship that image by saying that image was the image of Jesus Christ. When it's actually the image of the devil. Let's get that. Let's get that. Because you're not calling up and saying, I don't believe that. Prove it. So let's get it. Let me pull it for you anyway. Let's get the book of Revelations, which the preachers in the church never go in. Because they're scared of this book. Because they can't understand nothing in it. Let's go to Revelations. The 13th chapter. Revelation, the 13th chapter. And we're going to start at... the fourth verse, Revelation 13 and 4.
And they worship the dragon.
Read it again.
And they worship the dragon.
Read it one more time.
And they worshiped the dragon.
People on this earth are worshiping the dragon. If you're unclear about who the dragon is, then let's go to Revelations. Let's just go to the 12th chapter, because I have to do this so I can get to the point so you can understand what the Bible is talking about. Give me Revelation, the 12th chapter, and let's start at the 9th verse.
And the great dragon was cast out.
We're trying to find out who is this dragon that everybody's worshiping. And the great dragon was cast out. Come on.
That old serpent.
Read on.
Called the devil.
So what is the dragon called?
The devil.
What is the dragon called?
The devil.
Read on.
And Satan.
The dragon is called the devil and Satan. Now give me Revelation 13 and 4.
And they worship the dragon.
They worship the devil and Satan. You can't see that? Who worship the devil and Satan? Give me the 8th verse.
And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him.
Yeah, it's talking about the people on this earth. How did you start worshiping the devil and Satan? By being deceived. The devil and Satan made you think that he was Christ. In case you forgot, let's go back to Corinthians, the 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and let's show you that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Let's show you that. That's how he got everybody to worship him. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and we're going to start at the 14th verse. Read.
And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
So if you want to know how did he get everybody to worship him, he got everybody to worship him by saying he's Jesus Christ. That's how he got everybody to worship him. And setting up a religion. That religion that he set up when you come in to worship him is actually, whether you want to believe it or not, Christianity. Because the Christianity today is not the same Christianity that Christ was teaching. It's different. Okay? And I'm going to show you it's different. So we know that Satan is in there because he done put the lies in there. Now, there's no lie of the truth. So there's too many contradictions within Christianity. So we know that's being ran by Satan. But let's go back to Revelations now, 13, and I want you to read the 4th verse again.
And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things.
A mouth speaking great things. Remember when he came to Christ, he came and told Christ what? That and this is also going to Satan's physical counterparts on earth also. Definitely, because they got a mouth speaking great things, but that's another show. I'm going to tell you who Satan's counterparts is. That's in another show. But Satan has also got a mouth speaking great things. He brag about how he's controlling the world. That's what he was doing with Christ. He told him all these kingdoms are given.
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
I want you to understand it. It's a mystery.
We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
That means to these people, it's a mystery.
It's a mystery.
Because it is given unto you,
read on, to know the mystery.
Mystery, even a mystery, hid from ages through history. Generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, the nation victory.
You're listening to Mysteries of the Bible.
Now, since Mysteries of the Bible has been on the air, our main goal was to establish truth according to God.